Anybody in here got a bucket list? Yeah, okay. We're not going to ask you what's in there. Well, you'll trust me on that one. Hey, bucket list, we all know what that is, right? That's that place where you put things that, like, gosh, this is something I'd really like to do in my life before I'm, you know, depart from it, right? Well, you heard the story from the gospel that Father Scott just read, right? We heard about the time when it was just after Jesus' baptism. You know, John is seeing Jesus and standing next to John are two of his disciples. And one of them is unnamed. I think that was John. I think that's the writer of our gospel because he does that. He likes to like mention like, oh, this other person. And I think that's him. Anyway, the other is Andrew. Who's Andrew? Andrew's Peter's brother. Yeah, that Peter. That's the one. So what does Andrew do? He heads home to tell his brother. Remember, we're in the season of Epiphany Tide, right? And our gospel stories are all about how God is revealing his Christ to the world. Now, God was using the ministry of John the Baptist, who had his own following. And it appears from this story that Andrew and the unnamed person next to him were actually followers of this baptizing person named John. So Andrew runs home and to his brother, whose given name is Simon. Everybody called him Simon. Nobody called him anything different but Simon up to now. He says, "We found the Messiah," he tells him. So he takes Peter, because we know him as Peter. He takes him to Jesus. Jesus looks at him and says, "I know you. You're Simon, one of John's boys. From now on, you're Rocky." Rocky is the English translation of the name Peter, but his given name was Simon, but Jesus called him Rocky. And in Greek, it was Petros, and that's how we get that word Peter, right? So, what about Peter's bucket list? You know, I mean, we're all familiar with the rest of the story, how it goes for this man, Peter. I mean, remember, he's the guy who denied Christ three times, right? And he's the one who's like, finally has that reconciliation on the beach at the end of John's gospel. So we got to consider that there's a little bit of irony in the fact that his name is Peter, Rocky, right? Why was it ironic? Because, well, his path was rocky, right? It had his ups, it had his downs. And in the end, we see a reconciliation that creates a pathway for the establishment of the church. That's how important Peter was. But was this necessarily on Peter's bucket list? Yeah, exactly. Was becoming the anchor for the earliest church on his list of unfulfilled wants? Did he know that God wanted to use his life to spread this refreshing gospel message to the world? You know, I doubt if any of that was in his bucket list. I didn't think I had a bucket list until an incident that happened about 25 years ago, which I'm going to get to here in just a bit, so stay tuned. Now, you know what wasn't on my bucket list? Becoming a priest in the Episcopal Church. That was definitely not on my bucket list. And today, this is January 18th, this marks today, to this very day, marks the 12-year anniversary of my ordination to the Episcopal priesthood. And it happened right here with Bishop Kirk. And I tell you what, folks, that was one rocky road. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever see myself having a future in what we call God's one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Never saw that, especially as a priest. Are you kidding me? Especially since I had only lasted 2 years and 2 months as a parish pastor in a Southern Baptist church back in the 90s. Yeah, that's a long time ago. My feeling was that having vacated my ministry in the Southern Baptist realm, even though I had a graduate and a postgraduate degree from Southern Baptist seminaries, and what I really knew is I'm never going to go back to the Southern Baptist. I knew I wasn't going back, ever. You know, I had no idea where my life should go. None. So there I was, living in Colorado, attending an Episcopal church with my wife at the time. She had also grown up Baptist, and in fact, we met at a college-age group at the First Southern Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas. And together, we were very faithful attenders of Christ Episcopal Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. Why had I started to attend an Episcopal church? Two reasons. One, it wasn't Baptist. And number two, it was close enough I could walk to. Didn't even need to start the car. I love that idea. It's like, I'm gonna go to that church right there. So, no, I didn't have a bucket list. At least I didn't think I had a bucket list. And as far as I was concerned, I was just a discarded remnant of a fabric that never got to be a part of the whole garment of God's making. Then, in 2001, I was handed a very meticulously worded note from my then wife. It was a two-pager. It said in part that she didn't need this marriage anymore. And to be honest, I had been quite unhappy with our marriage for the last decade and a half or so, right? But I was of that disposition. Yes, her name was Brenda. Yes, I know that's what you're saying. Her name is Brenda, by the way. And but I was of the disposition that what I had was my life, unhappy as it was. God had given it to me, and my personal theology at the time was that my greatest joy could only come through suffering, just like Jesus did. And I thought, if it's good enough for Jesus, who was I to expect anything different? So, and it was my job, it was my task, it was my assignment in life to learn what it was that God was teaching me. That's all I had to do. And, you know, I must confess, okay, that when I was reading that note and I saw where it was going, even before I got to the bottom of it, I started to hear the school bell ring. Yeah, you know what it means when the school bell rings, right? Yeah, it means school's out. And the drudgery has ended, and now you can go back to enjoying your life again. For me, that meant that I was getting a better life than Jesus did, and I wasn't going to knock it. It had been almost 10 years since leaving the sheepfold of the Southern Baptists at that time, and she had been with me through all of the Baptist drama that was going on in the 1980s. There was a movement to squeeze out independent thinkers like me and many because, well, we just weren't a part. We were all a part of the perceived problem. Larry wrote a book about it. Where's Larry? Larry wrote a personal memoir about that. And he gave me a copy of it, and I got presented to it. None of y'all probably even heard of this problem, but it was a big problem. But when I read that note, and specifically the line where it said, and I quote, "I release you." I had an experience of elation and joy and possibility I hadn't experienced in years. And I realized, God isn't done with me yet. God wasn't sentencing me to a life of drudgery, that God had something in store for me that I had never even considered. All of a sudden, I had a bucket list. And oh, that bucket list was full. You want to know what was on top of that bucket? No, it wasn't becoming a priest in the Episcopal Church. No. Here's what was on top, and I kid you not. I wanted to dance. Yeah, right? I'm in my 40s, right, back then. Did I know how to dance? No. But I could learn. And I started taking dance lessons, right? I first learned those ones that you could do by yourself, like tap dancing and jazz, ballet. And yes, I even took a class in hip-hop. Really, what is that? Nobody's like... And then I moved on to the ballroom and the social dances, and you know, the ones that you do with somebody else. foxtrot, waltz, tango, salsa, swing. Yeah, I learned all of that. How did I finance it? Well, I drove a school bus for a few years. Yeah, and I went to truck driving school, and I eventually earned my commercial driver's license, and I became an over-the-road truck driver. Yeah, I did all of that. Driving the truck was on my bucket list, I'll have you know. I always wanted to play with the big man's toys, right? I didn't last long on as an over-the-road driver because I soon moved up in the company as a manager and a dispatcher, and eventually I got hired as an operations training specialist, and that's what moved me to Phoenix. And from Colorado. And I wanted to start fresh when I came to Arizona. So I only brought the things with me that I knew I truly needed. I've a few clothes, my desk, my mattress, not the bed, just the mattress, and my books. I had boxes and boxes and boxes of books. Well, that's what happens when you got, you know, degrees like I did, right? And they were all from my seminary days, right? And those books remained in those boxes, and I never intended to ever open those things up again. But I kept them anyway. And then I started working for FedEx part-time, and as a part-time person there, I answered an advertisement for that a dance studio was putting out looking for to hire ballroom dance instructors. No experience required. Guess what? Boom, I was there, right? One of the things that I was super clear about in my life and who I was, it didn't matter what that was, what I was doing, I was a teacher. I knew that. My parents were teachers, and I always felt like I'm a teacher. I could teach. There was never been anything, I kid you not, there's never been anything I've ever learned in my life that I didn't think I could teach somebody else. And if I didn't think I could teach somebody else, then I hadn't truly learned it. That's the way I was. Now, you might characterize that attitude as arrogant, and it probably was, you know, but I knew that's how God had made me. So, yeah, I got hired as a ballroom dance instructor, and I only did it for a few years, but, you know, after all, it was just a bucket list item, you know, so I didn't want to necessarily do it for the rest of my life. So where was God in all that, though, right? I mean, truly, God was all over my life. And something that was not on my bucket list was to get married again. But that didn't seem to matter because I did remarry. And it was her asking me about what's in all those boxes that kept coming back to me. Those are my theology books, okay? That had me revisit the idea of returning to ministry. And I found for the first time in over 20 years that the thought of working in the church actually didn't make me nauseous anymore. I kid you not, for 20 years, anytime just the thought of doing any work in the church is like, it would make me physically sick to my stomach. Yeah. So I guess, but back in the, it was January of 2008 when I approached Dean Nisley. He was the dean of the Trinity Cathedral downtown. That was my home church. And I walked up to him at the end of a class and I said, I'm ready to test the waters of becoming a priest in the Episcopal Church. That was 2008. Now, I didn't finally get ordained until 2014. Yeah, that was a long time, okay? What does that mean? I had quite a rocky road to my ordination. It was not easy. I mean, it included, during that time, it included my second marriage failing, but not before I found myself right there in front of Bishop, Kirk 12 years ago. But what I learned, that it doesn't matter whether I'm faithful, God is faithful. God is the one who stays with us. God is the one thing that we can't ignore on our bucket list. And in fact, I invite you to consider that the bucket list is God's working in your life. You might not realize it. You might spill some of those things out of your bucket, but you know what that is? That's a breadcrumb trail to something really big. I think God uses his divine intentions for us, what we like to call God's will. I think God puts that in our buckets. And they're disguised as, this is something I want to do. Don't be deceived. You know what? I think God's got a bucket list of his own, too. Did you ever think about that? Maybe God's got a bucket list. Yeah. What about that? And you know what? I think it includes what God wants to do with each and every one of us. Yeah. In our bucket just may lie how we ourselves individually are God's epiphany in the world. After all, how is God going to manifest divine love in the world without you? To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.